All right, boys and girls, welcome once again to Grease the Wheels, your weekly automotive technician podcast that comes out of the mind and soul of your Uncle Jimmy, the guy behind the microphone here at the Rock and Roll Garage. Hey, before I get started, and I try to do this every week, I want to do this every week, I feel like it's important. Listen, if you're out there fixing stuff, I don't care what you're fixing, it doesn't really matter, whatever machines there are in your life, in your occupation that you repair, that you fix, that you make go, maybe even build them. Who the fuck knows? You could be working on an assembly line. Be all right. You could certainly listen to the podcast all you want. I mean, it's a free country. Anybody could really listen. And it's kind of funny to think about who actually might be listening, you know. But hey, it's aimed at automotive technicians specifically and aimed at technicians in general and aimed at anybody else who feels like, fuck, I'm listening. So, but one of the things that I like to do on the podcast here is just call you out and single you out with some appreciation and some heartfelt thank yous. For what you do, this planet it's a very mechanical planet now. Ever since the industrial age of the mid-19th century got kicked off by railroads and shit like that, we've been on the move using different machines to do different things, and we've reached quite a fucking apex with that shit, I gotta tell you. We have machines that will do almost everything now. There's still some stuff that human beings can do better than machines, but not much, actually. So, but hey, if you're out there fixing those machines, keeping them running, tuning them up, cleaning them up, maintaining them, maybe, putting new parts on them, old parts on them, whatever it is you do, man. Hey, thank you very much for what you do. It is greatly appreciated. What we got going on here where I am in Texas is a hell of a lot of road construction. So I want to call those guys out. If any of them listen, and if they don't, too bad. They're probably sitting around shooting shit, not working anyway. No, they look like they're never working, but they get a hell of a lot of shit done. Fuck. Got to see the shit that's going on down here. The road construction in Texas is an absolute modern marvel. It is fucking stunning at all the shit they're fucking doing and where they're going to route roads next. Usually they're sky high. Anyway, thank you very much for what you do, all of you out there with tools and wrenches and maybe rebar and who knows what else. Thanks again. Listen, I want to bring you a podcast today about the kind of day I had today and how it affects everybody in the industry and how it affects everybody in the industry differently and adversely at times. And it's called The Day Tripper. Obviously, sticking with the Beatles thing, we're going to be The Day Tripper. My day today was a very unusual day. And I want to say it wasn't the worst day I've ever had, but it wasn't the best day that I could have had. And it wasn't the best day that my fellow colleagues could have had. We did not have enough work to do today. We were scratching the ground, kicking over rocks and looking under trees and digging holes in the yard, looking for things to fix. And we ran out. We flat out ran out. We didn't have enough appointments. We didn't have enough people bringing in their broken shit for us to fix. And it was a problem. And here's why it's a problem. And I think a lot of you know why it's a problem. It's because we are fucking flat rate. Now, if you're listening to this right now, and you're not familiar with what flat rate is, let me give you a little explanation of it. I'll give you the Cliff Notes version. It's not necessary for me to go into a real long, drawn out diatribe about flat rate. Flat rate is simply a way to pay technicians for a repair job. Nothing more than that, really. It's pretty simple. It's like, how are we going to pay these guys? We'll pay them what we call flat rate. Okay. Flat rate says, and there are flat rate manuals out there, Motor, Mitchell, Alldata, shit like that. Most brand manufacturers, such as, you know, GM, Chevrolet, Ford, Chrysler, Toyota, Honda, BMW, Mercedes-Benz, Audi, they all have their own labor time guides. They know exactly to the second, honestly, how long it takes to fucking do every goddamn job on the car, and thus they will pay you accordingly. So let's pick a common job. One of the common grease the wheels jobs out there is a water pump. Let's just say, and it doesn't even really matter what it's on. Let's just say a water pump job pays 3 hours, 3.0 hours. Hours are divided into tenths. The tenths are 6 minutes. And these jobs are typically whittled down by the manufacturer and also by these other labor time guide fucks Mitchell and all dead and all these fucking people. They're whittled down into their smallest increment closest to when it actually takes to be done by a professional mechanic, typically, with hand tools. Some of these labor times are not so good. And some of them are extraordinarily good. And a lot of times when you find one that's extraordinarily good, you'll see a lot of people yearning to do those particular jobs, okay? So that's one of the problems of flat rate, is that you get some people who will abuse the system. Let's take our typical water pump job, and let's just say it pays 3.0 hours. But you, as a flat rate technician with a modicum of experience and a modicum of training and skill and tools, you can do that job in an hour. Well, that job is going to pay 3 hours. So if you can do it in an hour, you're going to be 2 hours ahead of the game. So what that means is, it means a couple of different things. And let's go in a couple of different directions with this, okay? Number one, from the technician's point of view, if you see a car and it even has a whisper, I mean, just like a little tiny stain of a leak on the water pump, you're going to tell your customer they need a water pump, because you can make 3 hours in an hour doing that water pump. And that's not really a very good situation, because in a lot of cases, a water pump is going to leak a little bit out of the weep hole just because that's what they do. We've been told many times by our brand manufacturer, the one that I work for, that, you don't have to replace every fucking water pump just because there's a little cooling around that hole. They go, well, that means it's leaking. I go, no, not really. And then I'm like, well, I don't want to get into an argument with engineers who feel like they're superior human beings. I mean, they fought a whole fucking world war trying to prove it and lost, okay? But they'll insist that you don't need to replace that part. So they put, what they did was they remanufactured the part so that you can't actually see shit leaking out of it until it's too fucking late. They've actually put a little capsule around the weep hole. And if there's fluid coming out of the capsule, then it is definitely bad. It's definitely bad because the capsule holds probably about half of a shot glass of coolant. And then if it starts to leak, then you definitely have a leak. So they have tried to kind of make the problem not so prevalent. But what they don't realize is that some mechanics aren't very scrupulous. They don't have a lot of integrity. And if they think that they see something leaking, they're going to quote it. And in some cases, some service advisors somewhere, not the ones that I have, but some service advisors somewhere will actually sell that. Sorry about that. Some actually will actually sell that job as being necessary. And then the technician goes in, bangs it in for an hour, gets paid three, and he's happy. And the customer thinks that, okay, I'm not going to have a problem because I changed the water pump before it was a problem. And honestly, if you have a car that's got some age to it, water pumps typically are not maintenance items, but in this particular case, it might be. Okay, so you got a new water pump, you got fresh coolant, and it costs you X amount of dollars. Okay, is that the worst thing that could happen to you? Really, it's not, okay? But it's also not ethical to replace parts that don't need to be replaced, okay? And this is one of the problems with the labor time guide. Now, there are a lot of jobs, and I would say probably a good 75% of the jobs pay almost exactly what it's going to take to do them. And in some cases, what'll happen here, and this is a whole nother avenue that technicians like to take, is they will find out how to do it faster. And there's a lot of examples out there of jobs that require you to do this or do that or do this and that as far as the repair instructions go. And a technician will come along and go, yeah, fuck that. You don't need to do all that. You don't need to do all that shit. Just fucking rip the fucking thing out, you know? Just put a pole jack on the bottom of the engine and shove it up through the hood, and then you can get the engine mounts off, or you can get the exhaust manifold off, or you can get the fucking oil pan out. You know, you don't need to drop the subframe because that kind of sucks, and, you know, there's a lot of shit bolted to it, and if you don't have to lower it, then you're saving yourself some time. And so what you find is people who think that they're very, very handy and maybe even borderline fucking, fucking backyard engineers, they'll figure out a way to get a couple of parts out of a car without having to take all that shit off of the fucking car or take down something or get something out of the way. They'll fucking go in and rip that fucking thing out without removing 3/4 of the shit that the manufacturer says they have to. Believe me, I've seen it done. I've done it. I've done it too. I can't say that I haven't. There are certain jobs out there where if you go to do them and you do them the way that the repair instructions tell you to do it, yeah, it's going to take you, you know, 4, 5, 6, 7, maybe even 8 hours. But if you fucking do it a different way, maybe you pry on something you shouldn't pry on, or maybe you push on something that shouldn't be pushed on, or maybe you just take half of something off, wiggle it out halfway, put the thing back down and wiggle it out the other half of the way, you are ahead of the game. You know, you took a part out that takes 8 hours and it only took you two, and you're ahead of the game. So that's one of the things that goes on as well. And I'm telling you, as I'm sitting here right now, I've got in my mind, in my repertoire of things that I do, we got about 24 of these types of jobs that really can be done very, very quickly and efficiently without doing all the mumbo jumbo from the repair instructions and actually making a good amount of time as a flat rate technician on a job and maybe even a warranty job, believe it or don't, right? Because typically warranty jobs, which are covered by the manufacturer, they time those down to the second, and they're not going to give you even one more tenth of time to do a specific job because they know exactly how fucking long it's supposed to take. They know exactly how long it's supposed to take. You know, they've got some fucking whiz kid over there with hand tools taking that shit all apart, and he did it in 1.8, and it takes you 1.8 just to look up the repair instructions. It's like, what the fuck? It's not going to work for you. But then you find a shortcut, and you figure out that you don't have to take that one bolt off, or if you take a wrench and you bend it a certain way and you cut the end of it off, you can get that bolt out without having to remove 16 other fucking things just to get at it. Well, then you're ahead of the game. You're ahead of the game and you're going to make money and you're going to look forward to doing that job because it pays 8 hours and you got it done in an hour and a half, even though taking that bolt out sucked balls. And this is on a lot of different stuff. And I'm talking about one brand, the brand that I work for. I would imagine that some of you fucking people out there have some really slick and trick things that go on with some of the cars that you work on so that you can get, you know, 8, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 hours doing a 2-hour job under warranty, in which case it makes it worth it for you. But if you don't fill the other people in on how to do this, which, by the way, you're not going to, are you? No, because you don't want them to know how to make big, big money off a job that you make big, big money off of, because then they'll start looking for them too, and there will be less for you, okay? So if you're one of these people who's a little selfish, and you know what? I think it's okay in some cases for us to be a little selfish, you know? Maybe you don't want to share this information with the guy in the bay next to you. Maybe he's got some fucking thing that you know he can do real, real fast, and he's not sharing with you his technique, so fuck him. Don't share your technique with him, right? Those are some ways that unto which you can make flat rate actually work for you, and even if it's warranty. Now, one of the other things that happens too is you're going to have, and this is going to be a never-ending thing, and I want to fill you in on this right now. You're going to have new people in your shop all the fucking time. All the time. You are always, always, always going to have new people. And you know why? Because there's no old people out there. So your shop is going to have new people in it a lot. And probably about half of them, I'll say just 50% off the top here, are not going to get it. They're not going to get what goes on and how to get it and how to get things done quickly and how to get things done efficiently and properly. The 50%. The other 50% are going to be gone within a couple of years. So yeah, that's why you have to kind of try to help some of them, because you're going to need help. Okay. You're not going to be able, you know, I don't know how many people you have in your shop now, how many people you'd like to have in your shop, how many people your owner or your dealership owner or your dealership manager would like to have in their shop. I don't know. But you have to look at percentages. There's not a lot of people out there with skill and training and experience and talent and knowledge out there looking for jobs. They can find them real fucking easy. And if your job, if your shop doesn't have a good reputation for paying technicians and lots of people leave, probably they're not going to come and work for you. And this is one of the problems. And really, this is out of your hands if you're a technician. This is out of your hands. The reputation of your shop is completely out of your hands, which is one of the things that I find that sucks about working in a shop, is that your reputation is something that is either held up and polished by everybody in the shop, or is pushed down into the mud and stomped on and has dirt and shit kicked onto it by the people in the shop. So, and the new people are responsible for some of this. Not all of it, honestly, but some of it anyway, right? So you're going to have new people coming in, and they're not going to be able to figure these things out that you know, Okay. And maybe you'll tell them, maybe you won't tell them. Maybe they'll never get to the point where they're going to do some of the things you do. I'll give you an example. Just happened today. One of the kids who works next to me is pretty new, kind of green. He's a good kid. And he works, I want to say, reasonably hard. He's not really over there killing himself. I mean, I don't see beads of sweat rolling down his forehead. And he did a windshield in a vehicle today, and the team leader helped him a great deal with it. But that was really the only thing he did today. And they pay pretty good at our place. They pay something on the order of five and a half hours. Okay, but would you be satisfied with that? Well, if you're a new guy, yeah, you'd be satisfied with that. Five and a half hours. Oh, yeah, you know, that's good. But if you're a seasoned guy like me, 5.5 hours, no, that's bullshit. I'm not going to come in and work all 8 or 9 hours or even 10 hours just to make 5.5, that's not going to fucking happen. And I did a windshield myself as well. Mine was a little smaller, probably pays a little less, maybe 4, 4.5 hours. But I banged it out in about 2 and got it done along with like 3 or 4 other cars. So I actually did make some money today, even though the shop was very, very slow today. There wasn't a lot going on. And this is one of the other problems with flat rate, one of the other things that goes on with shops. Dealer shops mostly, I know there are some independent shops that do run flat rate. It's a very tricky situation, flat rate is, because, and I've said this a few thousand times before, but I'm going to say it again, and this is one of the major problems with flat rate, is that if you have a lot of work, if your shop has a lot of work and you're busy, flat rate works for everyone. Because if you're a technician and you're working flat rate and you can bang out 6, 8, 10 cars a day, turning 2, 3, 4, 5 hours on each one, or at least a reasonable amount of hours on each one, you could take and work for 8, 9, 10 hours a day and turn legitimately 15 to 20 hours that day. Now, one of the things that happens is, and if you're listening and you're not familiar with this whole flat rate setup, let me tell you how that scenario I just laid out for you works, okay? Let's say you get a car in and it needs a water pump and it pays 3 hours. Okay, great. So they tell the customer, say, well, and a smart service advisor, and I like to think that there are some out there that exist. Oh, I'm being facetious, but sometimes this is a problem. When you talk to a customer about how much money they have to spend to fix their car, you never, ever, 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 ever should talk in time. Never. You don't ever say, oh, well, you know, doing the water pump in your car takes 3 hours and we charge X amount of dollars per hour. Let's say $200 an hour. So it's $600 to do your water pump labor wise. And then the part itself is whatever it is, you know, $150, $200. So you're at $800 plus tax. Okay, great. But if you say that it takes 3 hours and you're going to legitimately charge $600 labor for putting in that water pump, and then you call them an hour later and tell them it's done, you better get ready for a shit storm. You better get ready for a fucking mega grief to come through the phone. Because you said it was going to take 3 hours. It's only been an hour and it's done. See, this is the thing. Customers don't understand that. So you are going to not want to talk like that if you're a service advisor. So what that means is the water pump should take 3 hours to put in. But because you've done it like 40 fucking times and you know exactly how to do it, you know exactly what tools you need, you know exactly how to turn this, that, and the other thing, you bang the thing out, you bang the thing in, you refill the coolant, and it takes you an hour. But you're still going to get paid for 3 hours. Now, on the other side of the coin, let's say a new guy does that job and he has trouble with, or he could be a she even. Let's say they have trouble doing that job and they can't get the water pump out, and then they finally get it out, and then they finally get the new one in, and they finally get it sealed up, and they finally get fresh coolant in the fucking thing, and they finally get done with it. And 6 hours later. 6 hours later. Yeah, they struggled. Okay. And you know what? As experienced guys, this fucking happens to us every once in a while too. We get a job and it just doesn't go the way it's supposed to. A bolt stripped here, something stripped there, something got bent, and now it doesn't come out the way it was supposed to. Something goes wrong, something holds you up. Maybe you lose a nut. Maybe they don't give you the right part. Holy shit, I don't even want to talk about that this week. But these are things that happen. So your new guy does a 3-hour job. It takes him 6 hours. Guess what? He gets paid for 3 hours. They don't give a fuck if it takes them 60 hours or 600 hours. They're only going to pay them for 3 hours. So this is what goes on with flat rate. Now, the major problem that I have with flat rate, and I think a lot of us as flat rate technicians have the same problem. If there is plenty of work, and lately there has been plenty of work, then flat rate system, the flat rate pay system works for everybody. It works. It's fabulous. Okay. Because if there's plenty of work, I can get in there, get it diagnosed, get it estimated, get it sold, get it done. Boom, boom, boom. I'm going to make money and lots of it too, really by the pallet actually. And so in that particular case, when there's lots of work and you're on a flat rate system, the shop wins, the technician wins, everybody's happy. Or at least reasonably happy. But when you get what we had today, where there was nothing coming in the door and there was a lack of work and we were on waiting lists for the next RO, and that was a humongous mess, it's not something that is a good situation. In that case, the dealership or the shop does not lose, because if you're not working and you're not fixing stuff, they don't have to pay you. They don't have to pay you. So they still win. Whereas as a technician, you lose. And this is one of the problems that I have, problems that we all have, but I have with flat rate, is that if you don't have enough work and your fucking service advisors don't sell the work that you do have or the work that we've estimated, then we lose. And I'm going to tell you something right now, that if you work in a shop as a flat rate technician and there's never enough work, you're always running out of work, the other guys are always getting some of the gravy, and they're making fine hours, but you're not. It is not going to be long before you're going to be looking for that door with the word exit above it. And you're going to reach down with a can of lithium grease or maybe even a grease gun, and you're going to grease the fucking wheels. That is the problem. And the thing is, you know, if you're in management or if you're the owner of a shop and you just don't have enough work and you have technicians there, and they're just not making the money they feel like they need to make, they're going to fucking leave. They could be your brother-in-law. They could be your own brother. It could be you even, really. I mean, if you're just not making money, you got to stop doing what you're doing and find a way to get a job that pays you. You need money. People need money. Everybody needs money. And if you somehow or another, and there's a lot of different ways that they do this, a lot of different ways that shop owners and dealership managers and service department managers make it so that technicians don't make money, then they're just going to lose technicians. If they put into place rules or stipulations, or if they try to chop times, or if they give stuff away, this is all stuff that they do that drives us out the fucking door, and they have to fucking stop doing that. One of the things that I'm encountering lately that is causing a lot of technicians that in my shop to grumble and causing them to want to update their resume and get the fuck out, is that our shop has decided that they're going to take and put a technician on every single bay. Now we have 43 lifts. So the goal is for us to have 43 technicians. That's really, really great if you're a service, if you're a service manager or a general manager or a dealership owner or a shop owner, that's great from your point of view. That is absolutely fabulous. And I understand that thinking, okay? Because somebody came up with that thinking way back in the 20th century. So that's what I'm going to call it. It's 20th century thinking. It isn't that way anymore. And I'll tell you why. And if you don't agree with me, that's fine. You don't have to agree with me. But this is honestly, the whole damn thing is just my opinion. I will freely admit that. And I will also freely admit that I could be wrong. Well, one of the things that happens here, and you can agree or disagree with this opinion, is that if you are a competent, trained, and skilled and experienced technician, then you can work out of two bays, even if one of them is just a flat stall. You can put something in there that doesn't need to be lifted up in the air while you do something else that does need to be lifted in the air. And there's a great, great many jobs now that require you to really basically just sit there and do nothing if that's going to be the only car you work on. Programming, sure, programming takes about an hour. What are you going to do for that hour while the car is programming on your bay? You don't have another bay, so what do? You twiddle your fucking thumbs, okay? Maybe you're doing an evac and a recharge on an AC system with the 112, with the 1234, you fuck machines. They take a good hour because they have to leak check every step of the fucking way. And then if you even want to evac a vehicle, okay, you want to evacuate the system and put it into a vacuum, you're going to want to do that for at least half an hour. Well, what the fuck are you supposed to do for that half an hour? Twiddle your fucking thumbs, right? Okay. What if you got an electric vehicle? Okay. Because in my shop, a lot of us are electric trained and we pull them in and we have to yank batteries out of them and we have to pull modules out of the batteries and we have to determine whether they're good or bad. And sometimes we have to wait fucking days, weeks, and even fucking months for the fucking parts. What are we supposed to do? Put these things back together again and push them outside? Well, yeah, eventually that's what we end up doing. But we lose a lot of fucking time in the meantime. Time where we don't make any fucking money. And if you think for one fucking second that a technician is going to sit around and do nothing and make no money because you want to put a technician, and I'm using air quotes right now just in case you could see me, on every bay and leaving us with just one and it's all clogged up with something that, well, we don't have to do anything to it. You know, it's doing whatever it does. It doesn't need any input from us. Whatever it is, there's several different scenarios where a car is just doing something that it has to be indoors and it has to be hooked up to a battery charger or an AC machine or even a high voltage charger where we don't have to do anything until it's finished doing either its diagnostics or its initialization or its evac and recharge or even just waiting for parts. And if we have to sit there and lose money while this all goes on, guess what we're going to do? Yep, we're going to start looking at want ads. We're going to start updating the resume. We're going to start looking for another fucking job. So really, if you feel like you're doing yourself a favor as a service manager or a general manager or as a shop owner by taking a person who says they either want to work on cars or they know how to work on cars, but they're new. You know, they're new, they just got out of tech school, or maybe they just got out of high school, and you're going to fill up all the bays with these people, and you're going to call them technicians, because as soon as you hire them, they become technicians, right? Well, what you're doing is you're taking your older technicians who know really everything that they need to know to do the job right, and you're driving them out the fucking door. So you need to use your fucking head, okay? You need to use your brain for something other than to keep your skull from collapsing, and think about what you're doing to the technicians that you really, really need. They have in the building. Think about what you're doing to them. You're limiting how much money they can make. You're limiting their income. And how fucking long do you think they're going to put up with that shit? I can tell you right now, not very long. Especially when there's such an absolute dire shortage of technicians out there. Here comes the Grease the Wheels mantra, ladies and gentlemen. There is a fucking excruciating shortage of technicians out there. And you can hire anybody you want. You can even drag in all the homeless people you see begging for money on the side of the road. Drag them in there, stick them in a fucking company t-shirt, and call them a technician, give them a pair of pliers and a screwdriver, and just say, hey, I've got all the technicians I need. No, you fucking don't. Now, look, I don't want to run down people who are just starting in this business. I don't want to do that because there are some of them who are going to be fantastic, but half of them are not going to be fantastic. Half of them are going to be doing something completely fucking different in 2 years. Half of them are going to have to be asked to leave because they did this, that, or the other thing wrong. And what are you going to do then, huh? Because you're not going to have the older guys, the experienced guys, hanging around because they left because you stuck this fucking crowbar in their bay so that they could turn 25 hours a week doing oil changes maybe and it put a serious cramp on the amount of time and energy that they could use to actually fix cars and earn money. They're just not going to hang out and wait for you to figure that out. It's not what's going to happen. People are going to leave your employ and they're going to leave behind all the new people who don't really know any better. They don't know that they're taking up space. They don't know that they're getting in anybody's way. They don't know. They don't know, and they don't get treated that way either. I mean, in some cases, maybe they do know. In some cases, maybe the technicians tell them, say, listen, you need to stay the fuck out of my way. I'm trying to make money here, and you're over here fucking around on your phone. You're trying to do an oil change. It takes you an hour and a half because you've got to text your girlfriend back and forth for an hour. All right, here's another problem with flat rate is that the dealerships that have a brand sell the repairs that they do on vehicles that are under warranty to the brand. The brand knows exactly how long it's supposed to take to do the job. So you're not really going to make an extraordinary wage, an extraordinary paycheck doing a lot of warranty work. This is one of the other things that happens to technicians who are experienced and trained is that they get fucking butt fucked with goddamn warranty work. You know, You get some job that, you know, it takes, the brand says it takes 7 hours to do it, and you do it, you look at the repair instructions, and, well, it looks like it's going to take 7 hours to do it. So you dive in and you do it, and it takes you probably 7 hours to do it. There's no money to be made there. There's no money to be really made there. I mean, yeah, you're doing the job and you're going to get paid to do the job, but you're not going to be ahead of the game there. And that's what we're all trying to do, is be ahead of the game. And there's a lot of dire consequences that happen because we're trying to get ahead of the game with the amount of hours that we get paid for a certain job. One of the things that loses out big time is that there's a lot of little ancillary details involved with specific jobs and specific automobiles and vehicles that we work on that are just not going to get done. Because as a flat rate technician, you'll hear this every time you talk to one of them, say, fuck that, I'm not doing that. I don't get paid for that. I don't get paid for that. You know, it's like setting tire pressures. Yeah, I'm not going to fucking do that. I don't get paid for that. How about topping off all the fluids? Guess what? Fuck that. I don't get paid for that. You don't get paid for that. How about the MPI? Do you get paid for doing MPIs? Of course you don't. Everyone feels like you should just do it, and you should do it for free, and you should do it with a smile on your fucking face. Yeah, guess what? Fuck that. I don't get paid for that. That's why they have trouble getting people to do it. How about this one? How about the video? Huh? A lot of you out there are getting paid for videos. The company I work for says, oh, nobody pays for the videos. They go, well, you know what? You're fucking wrong, because I know a lot of places that pay for videos. That's just something that people who don't want to fucking pay for videos say. Oh, we don't want to pay for videos because nobody else does. Well, that's bullshit. And you want to know something? The video is one of the most effective tools for selling maintenances and repairs and other assorted services that you offer that you've ever come up with. It's absolutely fucking brilliant that you could have the technician talk to the customer about what they need for their car, because then, number one, they'll get to see it. Number two, they'll actually get to hear the technician instead of some butt-fuck service advisor who can't even get out of his fucking chair to tell him what he needs, which is probably going to be wrong anyway. And so they can feel better about what they need for their car, and they'll buy more. And you know that this is true. And so to not pay us is like, seriously, it's like the worst thing that you can fucking do. It's so heinous. It's so absolutely heinous to not pay us for videos that I can't stand it. I can't stand it. And I think, I just feel that you're really honestly the guy with the pointed tail and the fucking red fucking trident. You're Satan for not paying us for the videos. I honestly believe that. Is it's the most effective sales tool that has ever been invented by anyone in the fixed ops department, and you don't want to pay for it? You fucking piece of shit. You need to figure out a way to get us paid for that. So I've gone off on an evil diatribe that, who knows, it might even get me fired. But I don't, you know, I'm at the point now where I don't really give a fuck, okay? I mean, I come in and I give 100%, but nobody seems to be giving me 100%, really. And I feel like that's happening across the board for all of us, everywhere that we work. Everybody wants to make all of the money, and it's almost like they feel cheated or jilted if they have to actually pay us to do the work. It's nuts. It's just crazy. And flat rate, I can tell you right now, there's almost nobody out there who will agree with the dealerships and the shops that flat rate is a good thing. But for the dealerships and the shops, flat rate is the best thing they ever came up with, because they win no matter what. When there's work, they win. When there's no work, they still win. I can tell you with almost 100% certainty that all of the brands out there who make the cars, GM and Chrysler and Ford and Toyota and Honda and Audi and Mercedes-Benz, they don't want us to be flat rate, because they know that just encourages us to do the work fast, to bypass quality as anything that we might have in doing other repairs that we do, and just try to make as much money as possible doing the job as quickly as possible and possibly incorrectly. So they would really love it if they could somehow force the dealerships into paying us a salary to fix their cars, because then they feel like, okay, we would slow down, which is true. That is exactly what would happen. And we would probably do more, better quality work. We would set the tire pressures. We would top off all the fluids. We would gladly, if we were salaried and our salary was generous, we would gladly do the MPIs. We would gladly do the videos. But it's not happening. It is not happening, because there is an overwhelming feeling in this country that people just need to make as much money as they possibly can and fuck everyone else, especially our employees, who are trying desperately to fuck us. And it really kind of needs to come to a halt. You know, I mean, I like my employer a lot. I'm not a fan of some of the things that they do. You hear about it on here because I know the same things happen to you. I know also, too, that a lot of you have employers who are not good people. They're greedy fucking bastards, backstabbing fucks who would fucking just as soon not pay you if they didn't have to. And they try to rip you off as an employee, and they don't give you any good benefits, and they just don't take care of you, and they don't even see you as a valuable person, and they have no respect for you, okay? Now, where I work, they do have some respect for us. They do have some, they are people who do operate with values, but there's still an awful lot of things that they do that I can't sign on with. I can't abide by, I can't put up with anymore. And people say to me, oh, why don't you just complain to somebody? I go, there's nobody to complain to. There's nobody to complain to who's going to listen. There's no way that they're going to stop paying us flat rate. There's no way they're going to start paying us for stuff they've already tried to get us to do without paying us. There's no way they're going to do that. There is no fucking way. I can go on and on and on about it on this podcast. I can go on and on about it in real life. I can say to them, you got to pay for this. You got to pay for that. You know, if you don't pay us, we're going to leave. We're going to stop doing it. Da, 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 da. They don't care. They don't care. They just want the money. They want to hang on to it. They don't want to give it to us. And so that's what drives their total existence. That's the whole reason for their existence, is to just earn money. And what they'll do is they'll tell us all day long, up and down, well, you know, if we have a lot of cars and you fix them all, you're going to make money. I go, yeah, but you know what? You're making all the money and you're just slicing us off a little fucking percentage of it. And when I use the word little, I mean it, little percentage of it, and calling it a wage. It's like, pull your head out of your ass. The reason that you have a shortage, the reason that you, the shop owner and the fucking dealer management and the dealer ownership, has a fucking technician shortage problem is because you didn't fucking pay a livable wage in the past, and you're going to continue to have a shortage problem because you still do not pay a livable fucking wage in many cases. We go out and we have to learn new shit all the fucking time to keep up. Those of us in dealerships who deal with the new vehicles, we have to stay current. It's tough to do. You have to stay current? Fuck no, you're still using the same draconian fucking Scrooge-like fucking methods to keep your money out of our fucking pockets when we're the ones who fill your pockets with the fucking money. You need to figure out a different strategy for paying your technicians. You need to figure out a different strategy for keeping them in the building. Because if you continue to do the fucking shit that you're doing, you're going to be there by yourself, telling people that they have to wait 2 and 3 weeks to get a car fixed because you have to hire somebody to do it. You fucking morons. You can't. Why is it you can't see the forest for the fucking trees? Jesus Christ. Flat rate is antiquated. It's dead. Look, I know a lot of you guys out there probably love it. You probably fucking love it because the shops you work in have tons and tons and tons of work, and there's always work you can do, and if there's always work you can do, you're going to stay until fucking 9, 10, 11 o'clock at night, maybe even midnight 1, and do as much of it as you possibly can so you could take home as much money as possible. But wouldn't your life be a little bit better if you could make a very good wage working just a regular straight 8 hours and didn't have to kill yourself until the fucking wee hours of the morning to earn the money you need to take care of your family and buy the things that you need or want? Holy shit. Somebody up top, somebody at the top of the fucking totem pole needs to pull their head out of their ass and take a look around and see what's happening, or else the shortage is going to continue. Cars are going to pile up. Work's not going to get done. It's like, what the fuck? Take a look around. The problem is yours and yours alone. You created it. You are going to have to fucking solve it. You as a shop owner, you as the dealership owner, you as the dealership manager, you are responsible for creating this problem in the past. It has come back to bite you all in the ass, and it's going to keep on biting you in the ass until you fucking throw a crowbar into your fucking wallet and decide that you need to treat your technicians with respect, provide them with a very livable wage, and then maybe they'll fucking hang around. Maybe they'll fucking hang around and work for you. It's not something that you're going to have to do once. You're going to have to keep it up. Inflation is kicking the fucking shit out of people like me. Blue collar workers. People who go to work, work with their fucking hands, fix all the fucking shit in America that's fucked up. And then when we get our paycheck, we have to give a fucking good quarter of it to Uncle Sam because he's a fucking spendthrifty little cocksucker himself. And then what are we left with? We're left with just barely enough money to pay our bills, just barely enough money to feed our families, just barely enough money. Can we go on vacation? Fuck no, I got to work through vacation to afford to do the things for the kids, to do the things that kids want to do. It kind of makes me angry, folks. If you can't tell, the people who are suffering from this problem the most are the ones who caused the problem. The people who are suffering from this problem can't see that the problem was theirs to begin with, that they started it, that they could fix it. They won't fix it because it's going to cost them money. That's it in a nutshell. Now, one of the things I wanted to talk to you about too, real quick here, is one of the problems that we have as technicians, as flat rate guys, especially flat rate people. There are some people out there who are paid hourly and salary, and they are different. There are laws that are going to be considered, well, they're not laws yet. They're bills, I guess you would call them. Before they become a law, they're a bill. But there's many, many, many states in the United States now, I think there's five or six of them, that are considering a law that states that the brand manufacturer has to pay a warranty labor rate that is equal to the door labor rate that customers pay. Now, some of you may be going, oh, well, holy shit, wait a minute. Didn't you say Florida was like that? Yes, Florida is like that, and it's a problem there. It's a problem, but it's not a problem for technicians, okay? So we get to chuckle a little bit and smile out the corner of our smile. This is a problem that the brand has to deal with, okay? Because state law in Florida says that the brand manufacturer's warranty labor rate has to equal the customer pay warranty rate or the door labor rate of the shop. Oh, man. Those fucking brands that have to do business in Florida fucking hate that law. Because in our place, our warranty labor rate's good $20, $30, almost $50 less than our regular door labor rate. Yes, the brand gets a break on the labor. And even though they're breaking it off on our ass with the times, they get a break with the labor. But lots of states, and I know that Texas is one of them, is considering a law that says that the brand warranty labor rate has to equal the door labor rate, the customer pay labor rate. And when that happens, and if that happens in the state that you're in, it is going to be carnage, because it is carnage in Florida. Because the brand is not going to want to pay that enormous labor rate that somebody came up with out of thin fucking air, by the way. Okay. I mean, you open a shop and you can decide what the charge is of labor rate all on your own. You don't have, nobody in the world can tell you what your labor rate should be. It's up to you. If you own the shop, if you run the shop, if it's your shop, it's your labor rate. You want to do work at $100 an hour? Beautiful. You want to do it at $200 an hour? Guess what? That's beautiful too. How about $300 an hour? Sure. Fuck yeah. Let's do it. How about $400 an hour? Why the fuck not? We're headed there anyway. Inflation is kicking the shit out of your employees. It's kicking the shit out of you. Your vendors are charging you more. Everybody's charging you more. You have to give raises to your technicians unless you want them to leave. And then so what you do is you pass the cost along to your customers, and they don't like it any more than anybody else does, and they're going to complain like little fucking girls. Oh, your labor rate's too high. Well, then get the fuck out of here. Go. Leave. Vamoose. Split. Fucking take off. Get the fuck out of here. I don't need it, because I can fuck the brand over now too. And what they're going to do, their situation is going to be pretty dire. What they're going to do is they're going to come in and they're going to audit all of your work. They're going to take all of your ROs and they're going to look at every single one of them. And if they aren't perfectly lined up in order and everything is done correctly and properly with every single part build out, every single nut, bolt, and screw build out, and all the labor correctly done and correctly charged back to the brand, if this isn't exactly 100% correct, they're going to take their money back. And some of these dealers in Florida have almost permanent auditors from their brand manufacturers that are there just to take the money back, because you can't just go and fuck somebody and expect them to smile and take it. They're not going to do that. Fuck no. No, they're going to figure out a way to get their fucking money back. Everybody's going to do that. So what that means is that you as a technician, if your state decides that your labor, door labor rate should be the same labor rate that your brand manufacturer is paying, the brand manufacturer is going to come in and say, well, okay, we're going to pay this labor rate to fix the cars that we sold in this fucking goddamn godforsaken state, and we're going to pay it. But you know what? If there's a problem with the RO, even if it's just a T that isn't crossed or an I that isn't dotted, you're going to be giving us the money back on that bitch. Expect to write a check for $100, $150, $200,000. Expect to write that check every fucking 6 motherfucking months. We'll audit you daily if we have to fix this fucking problem. You want to fuck us? Guess what? We're going to figure out a way to fuck you. And you know who's going to lose in the end? That's right, you and me, the technician. Because if we do one thing that isn't copacetic with the brand, and the manufacturer wants to come in and take that money back because of something that we did, the shop owner, the dealership manager, or whatever, they're going to come down on you, and they're going to want to fuck you in the ass and take that money back from you. Because, goddammit, they earned that money. They earned that money. No, they didn't. So there's a shit show coming for some of us in some of these states, Texas being one of them. I'm going to want to look into it a little bit more. I'd like to have a little bit more information on exactly what the fuck is going on there with that and the ins and outs of it. I know that in Florida, it has created quite the shit show. I've talked to several technicians that work there. A lot of the dealerships down there, it's the wild, wild west, basically. There's no rules, and they're doing what they want to do, and they've got labor rates that are so fucking outrageous that the brand is really pretty much considering closing up all the franchisees there and saying, fuck you. Go to Alabama and Georgia for your fucking cars. Oh, and by the way, go there and get them fixed too. Fuck you, Florida. Hey, I don't say that because I don't like Florida. I'm fine with Florida, but the brands, They definitely got to hate that shit. They got to hate that shit with a passion. And that's another reason, too, that they chopped the times. So in the end, all of this bullshit that goes down the fucking pike basically just fucks you and me as the technicians. And I'm fucking tired of it. I've had it. I'm really quite close to the end. I'm moving on in my occupation to another place that hopefully will be better for me. The place I'm in now just seems to be selfish and self-centered as far as what they're doing, filling the shop up completely from stem to stern, from top to bottom, from eyeball to eyeball, putting technicians everywhere in the shop, or so-called technicians, whatever you want to call them. And it's not working out that well for some of us. And so hopefully I can find myself in a better situation. And if the wrong people or if the right people are listening to this, maybe it'll cause them to consider what they're doing and kind of try to rectify the problem somewhat. I doubt it. I doubt it. These are people who have their minds pretty well made up. And they may even have their hands forced by other people, too. I'm not going to discount that. Okay. A lot of times when you make moves in the shop, when you do certain things with certain people and maybe you scrunch them all up, or maybe you spread them out, or maybe you do this or you do that, you have to think about what the consequences are for the individuals in that shop and whether or not it's conducive towards keeping them or shooing them out the door. Let me know what your thoughts are on flat rate. It's worked out okay for me in the past. There's been a few pay periods I've had where flat rate was definitely not my fucking friend. But there's also been some times when flat rate was my friend, and a very good friend at that. So I'm kind of on the fence about it. I feel like it would be a lot better for a lot of the people in my shop if they were salaried, if they were hourly, and they didn't have to try to go so fucking fast. Because that, my friends, and even myself personally, that is when mistakes get made. And the mistakes cost the shop money. And the shop doesn't like that at all. Whoever's in charge of the shop doesn't like that. Whoever runs the shop, whoever looks at the finances of the shop, they hate that. They hate that worse than anything. And it should never really happen. If you're paying attention to detail, and if you're doing the job absolutely correctly, and you're able to keep an eye on what's going on and concentrate on what you're doing, without having to worry about going so fucking fast, then that problem will fix itself. And that's what salary will do for you. Flat rate doesn't do that. Flat rate rewards quick and speedy repairs, and in many cases, even shoddy repairs. Salary undoes all that work. Obviously, the productivity seems, and this is a true statement, when you pay a salary, the productivity appears to go down. And I can agree that that would be a problem. But there's also ways to fix that as well. You can offer an incentive program for hours turned over X, whatever it is, 40, 45, or 50 hours a week. If there was a bonus for hours turned over that, then what you would find is people would speed up a little bit, but not like they would if they were flat rate. All right, listen, if you have some thoughts on this, I'd love to hear them. If you have some ideas about how technicians could get paid better, if you have some ideas about how we could have the brands figure out their labor times more generously, possibly, or maybe more fairly, maybe that's a better way to put it. And if you could get our managers and our shop owners to kind of sneak their head out of their ass and kind of look around and see what the results are, what's going to happen with some of the decisions that they make about some of the working conditions that we have going on, some of the pay conditions that we have going on, some of the things that we do that we need to do that we're not getting paid for, some of the things that we need to stop doing because we don't get paid for them as well. If you got any ideas on any of this stuff, let me have them, because I don't really have the answer. I don't have the answer. I'm not so well trained and so intelligent that I can figure out how to fix this problem once and for all for everybody out there. I think that every shop is different. Every level of work is different. Every car is different. That's one of the things that drives me wild about this particular business is the sheer randomness of the automobiles and the customers and the service advisors and the technicians and all the shit that goes in with all of those people and all those machines. The randomness of it is just brutal. It's brutal, but you could make it. You could certainly make certain parts of it a little easier and a little more easier to deal with. So let me know what your ideas are, what you think is going on, what you think should happen, what you think will happen, because that could be different than what should happen. It has in the past. It's always been different, right? The things that should happen don't happen. The things that shouldn't happen probably do happen. It's a fucking mess. It's a big, huge mess. And with the world of shit that we got coming down the pike, with the new motivation systems that we have and the outrageous technology that we have coming down also, well, it's going to get worse before it gets better, folks. All right? All right. That's enough for your Uncle Jimmy. Things to ponder. Let me know what you think. Hit up the Facebook page. Send me some messages. Send me some stuff. Let me know how you feel like it's going for you. I hope everything's going really, really well for you. I pray for that, actually. I'd like for everybody to do well, even our bosses and our shops. I would love for them to do well. But sometimes they stand in their own way, right? All right. Anyway, that's enough of me. As your Uncle Jimmy, I'm signing off right now. And the way I do that, every single fucking time. See ya.